And welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Claire Wiley, and joining me now is Joseph Gores, who is a professor of ecological soil management at the University of Vermont. And today we are going to be talking about all things worms. So happy to have you with me, Joseph. Thanks for joining us on This Green Earth.
Thank you for having me. I think it's going to be fun.
Hopefully entertaining and educational. That's what we shoot for here.
Let's go.
So first, I would like to set the table about who you are and how you got started in this field. So what turned you on to studying soil and soil management and the creatures that live in it?
I'm a physicist by training. So I got a physics degree at the University of Manchester in the UK. By a number of career changes, I ended up studying natural resources at the University of Rhode Island and eventually ended up here in Vermont. And why soils? Well, it's one of the most important natural resources that we have. We grow things in it, we stand on it, we build houses on it. So there's so many ecosystem services that come from the soil. You just have to concentrate on one or two things.
I wanted to have you on the show because of an incident. It was a thing that happened to me recently. I was out around midnight walking my dog, and we've had a very mild winter here, and it was a couple weeks ago, and I felt like the ground was moving underneath my feet. And so I took my phone flashlight and I lit up the ground, and I saw all these creatures going back into the earth very quickly. And I was like, I think those are night crawlers. But there were so many of them, it literally looked like the ground was moving. And I thought, what a wild creature. And then I looked into them a little bit, and I was hearing from different sources that they come out, that's how they mate. When they see light, they're automatically going to go back, and what their uses were in an ecosystem. So I thought, what a great topic. And that's when I got a hold of you. So can you walk me through the world of a nightcrawler and why I was seeing them up above the surface at midnight and by the thousands?
Well, that is a really good question. And there's probably many different answers to that. And you get my answer. So earthworms, or night crawlers in particular, are just not very active during the winter time, right? So they really don't do much. Night crawlers in particular retreat into their burrows, and they can be very deep. So they don't freeze. They go 3-4 feet down into the ground. And at that point, you know, the freezing temperatures that that you might experience on top of the earth is actually being tempered. And you're probably at maybe 5, 6, 7 degrees Celsius, or that's like 40 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm. So they can survive in that kind of weather. If they were staying at the surface when it's freezing, then they would not survive. And so in the wintertime, they kind of permanently go down into their burrows and hang out there to survive. When it gets warmer, they obviously can go to the surface. They don't have to go to the surface, but they can go to the surface. And they most likely do that for a bunch of reasons. So the first reason would be that they can actually find food. Nightcrawlers are a particular kind of earthworm that we call anesic, so outside the ecosystem. And we call it that because they can crawl all the way down to 3, 4, 5 feet below the surface. And the way they feed themselves is that they go to the surface during the night, like they're night crawlers, right? They come up during the night and they pull in litter from the surface, so leaf litter or small fragments of organic material, and they pull that into their burrows. And what they do next is they basically weld those materials against the burrow wall with their excrements, right? So they make castings, and they're nice and gooey, and they're sticky, so they can stick stuff up against the wall. The next thing that happens is things start growing on that, like, you know, fungi and bacteria start growing on the on the leafletter that they've just pulled in. And then they can feed on that. They can feed on either the litter itself or on some stuff that's grown on it. Mm. And I suspect that they receive a lot of their nutrition from what is growing on what they pulled into their lair. The other reason why they might want to come to the surface, the first reason is, you know, get yourself some food, get some litter that you can use to farm your fungus below ground. The second reason why they might want to come to the surface is because it is super hard to find a mate below ground. It's dark. You're in your burrow. And if you never come out of your burrow, you never find anybody to mate with, right? So it's a bit like if you just hang out at home, you're not going to find anybody that you might want to hang out with. And so you go to a bar, right? And so the bar for the nightcrawler is the surface. That's where they can actually find a mate. And so they come to the surface to mate as well. So there's these two purposes that they have. One is to mate and one is to feed. They also need moisture to survive, right? So warm would be good, right? So because they can survive and they can come to the surface. And then if there's a little bit of moisture on the soil and even when it's raining, right, they like to come to the surface because they can, right? So they need moisture to keep their skin moist so they can breathe through their skin. So there's two seasons that they will actually mate. The first season is in the spring. So what you've just been describing, warm weather, maybe a little bit of moisture, they come to the surface and then they come back to the surface to mate in the fall. So autumn, I don't know, September, October. In the summer, they're also not really very active. They go through something called estivation, or, you know, a version of hibernation just for the summer. So estivation and hibernation. So there's just these two seasons when they're super active. And so you probably just caught them at the beginning of that spring season. They live quite long. So they can live up to 8-9 years long.
Oh, wow.
So they have longevity. The really cool thing about nightcrawlers is that, and any other earthworm, they produce these egg casings called cocoons. They're not like cocoons for insects. They're just egg casings, like a hard shell. And inside that hard shell, there might be 1, 2, or 3 eggs that are fertilized within that cocoon.
One of the things that I also read about nightcrawlers is that they aerate the ground so they could make a healthier ecosystem. However, you had also mentioned they can also be invasive. So when is it that they're good for a garden and good for soil, and when is it that they can act in a detrimental way?
You are asking some really complicated questions. So that's really good, Claire. I like it. So the earthworms come from the same place that I'm from. I'm from Europe. And so, I mean, not all earthworms, but the nightcrawlers come from Europe. So Eurasian worms, anywhere from Spain all the way into Russia, you'll find nightcrawlers. And, you know, from the southern part of Europe all the way up into Scandinavia. So nightcrawlers are exotic species in North America. And whether or not they are invasive depends on whether they do harm, right? So, and you know, how many of them are there? Are there a ton of them, or just 1 or 2 of them? Or, are they doing any damage? And so this is where it becomes complicated. What is damage, right? So we've been getting along with night crawlers here in North America probably for 200-300 years. And have we noticed any damage? Well, I don't think that most people think of nightcrawlers as a damaging type of earthworm or an invasive species. However, if you really think about environmental change is incremental, right? So let's say you go back 300 years ago and you look at the ecosystem then and you compare it to what we have now, then there have been probably big, big changes with agriculture and other things. But the earthworms themselves might have made a difference as well. They might have changed some of the ecological processes. But we really don't think about it that way because we're used to it. We already kind of know our forests look like this. Our ag land looks like this, right? So we don't really think of there being damage done by nightcrawlers. But, so here comes the big but. The more we learn about earthworms, especially the exotic ones, the more we start stumbling across sort of negative effects that we can even see now. Mm. So in order to understand that a little bit, we have to take a step back and maybe do a little bit of time travel. Let's go back 10,000 years And 10,000 years ago, there was glaciers in the northern part of North America. And it's roughly sort of a line between, you know, starting off from Long Island, going along that line all the way over to Washington State. And so above that line, there were glaciers. And that meant that all of the earthworms that were there were killed by the glaciers. We're talking about a mile of ice above the soil. 10,000 years ago, when those glaciers started to recede, they were open for earthworms. It took a while for them to arrive with European settlers, but eventually they arrived, right? So they arrived on the East Coast, probably with the settlers. People say that it's essentially that their boats were laden down with ballast, which tended to be soil, and that soil contained worms as well as the cocoons. And when they offloaded that to replace that load with whatever they were trading from North America to Europe, that's when these earthworms really arrived. And they started spreading from there. They're incredibly slow spreaders under their own steam. And they probably move maybe 10 meters a day. So this is the night crawlers, so 10 meters a day. But what moves them around a lot more are humans. They're saying, oh, it was great. You have this beautiful plant here that came in this pot from Europe, and I'm going to take that over to wherever they were colonizing, right? So now you might have had an earthworm in that pot, or two or three, or a bunch of cocoons, and you've taken them just 100 miles further west. And so you've just spread them. Humans are really good at that. So any kind of trade will probably move things around, especially, you know, the horticultural trade has probably moved a lot of these invasive earthworm species from one place to another, long distances. The other thing that moves things around is water, right? So night crawlers can actually survive in water for quite a while. And so if they get washed into a stream or a river, they will move with that river water and then land wherever it takes them. So that could also be miles further along, right? So suddenly those 10 meters, those 30 feet of movement from under their own steam becomes, you know, 10 miles or 100 miles. Mm. So that's how they move around. So that's something about their spread. Now the impact, this is really what you wanted to know, right? You want to know, what is their impact? Mm-hmm. So in the northern part of the US and Canada, so southern part of Canada, northern part of US, where those glaciers were, forests developed in the absence of earthworms. So they didn't have these huge decomposers that were diminishing the organic matter in the forest floor. So if you go into Uinta Mountains, you probably notice that in some of the hardwood forests there, you probably have a good layer of organic matter, and you walk on that and there's a little bit of a bounce in your step because the soil is a little spongy, and as you walk along, you feel it's kind of a soft soil. And that's all due to organic matter. If you put an earthworm in there, they can deplete that organic matter really quickly. And this is what has happened in the northern part of the US and southern part of Canada. A lot of the forests up here do not have that thick layer of organic matter anymore because the earthworms consumed it. And they might also have mixed some of that organic matter with the mineral soil below it. And so now you've lost quite a bit of carbon into the atmosphere. And you actually have lost the germination medium of some of the plants and the growing medium of some of these plants. So some of the ephemerals that you would see up here, like trillium or something like that, their seeds may not be stored there anymore in the soil because the seed bank of those smaller plants is that organic layer at the surface of the soil. So now you've changed, those worms have actually changed a lot of the ecology of those forests. So that is one thing you might want to think about, that you now don't have a really thick understory where you have to fight to get through that understory. And that has consequences for forest health. So here's interaction between the earthworm and the ecological world.
One of the things that I just talked with a coworker about, she said, ask what type of earthworm I should be purchasing to put into my garden plot here. What are the good and bad ways in which these worms are helping with even small garden crops?
First of all, I would say that, you know, there is the bright side of the worm and then there's the dark side of the worm, right? So we should not forget that there's light at the end of the earthworm tunnel, right? So And that light is essentially that the earthworm is doing what it does everywhere. It does this in Europe. It does that in Africa. It's the same kind of mechanisms that occur across the world. It's just one big world full of earthworms. So the species that are out there do the same thing pretty much everywhere else. So what is good about earthworms? They accelerate nutrient cycling really quickly. So they take something that might take 6 months and they condense it down into like 3 months, right? So you go into a forest that's newly invaded and you had an organic layer there, that organic layer disappears within a few months. So it's accelerating nutrient cycling. It releases nutrients in the garden really quickly. And that might be really beneficial to some plants that can pick up the nutrients that fast. So that's good. The other thing that they do is they provide pores in the soil, like bigger pores where water can be stored, through which water can infiltrate into the soil, like you have a clay soil. Most likely you get a lot of runoff when there's a big rainstorm coming your way. If you have earthworms in there, then that diminishes that runoff. Mm. And that has an effect on, first of all, on that soil storing more water for growing plants. The way I sort of look at it is to say, well, there's 8 different kinds of earthworms, and that's what you're trying to get at with your question. Mm-hmm. And B, where are you located? Are you located really close to a stream? Are you located really close to a pristine forest? So if you are close to a stream and a pristine forest, you may not want to have by any earthworms in.
Interesting. So we should probably avoid that purchase because it is hard to track exactly what you're purchasing. And if you are not a worm expert, you might not know better what you're putting into the ground.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, the first thing when you start working with earthworms is they all look the same, right? So it's really difficult to identify them to species or even to genus. For me, they all look different now because I've developed an eye over the years for what they might be. So yeah, don't buy on the internet, buy from people that you know. There may be some vermicomposters in your area that have a really good idea of what they have in their compost vermireactors. Yes, I think that's what I would do. So I would try and find someone who has a vermicomposting bed and then make sure that there's no other worm in it other than the red wiggler, which is probably very difficult to do. But the best thing is to buy from people that you know.
Well, there's so much to learn, and I am so sad that our time is coming to an end because we didn't even get into jumping worms. So do you think that you might, I don't want to put you on the spot, but come back and share with us more about jumping worms because what it is doing to North America?
Love to come back and talk about jumping worms. Wonderful. They're so fascinating. They're pretty and evil, and they have the making of some kind of anti-hero. And they're really fast and aggressive, probably just as aggressive as the nightcrawlers were when they started out here.
So we have a lot more to talk about, but
absolutely.
For now, I think we'll have to leave it at that. Thank you so much for joining us today on This Green Earth. We have been speaking with Joseph Gores. He is the professor of ecological soil management at the University of Vermont. Thank you so much for taking time out today to teach us more about earthworms and what's happening beneath our feet.
It was my pleasure, and I'll go upstairs and I'll play Carole King's I Feel the Earth Move Under My Feet.
That is perfect. That's what spurred all this on, was I did feel the earth move under my feet. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll definitely check back in.
Thanks for having me.